I'm just a relentless type person. You know what I'm saying? I'm very relentless. Like, literally, man, this, I'm so relentless, man. You shoot, drop me in a jungle real quick one day, man, and see what I come out with. You know,
come out with a chinchilla.
Chinchilla, leopard skin draws and all that stuff. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, you see me fighting the lion, help the lion, you know?
Yes,
you know?
Yeah, man.
So, yeah, so you could, you know, fight, help the lion now. Nah, might facts. Eat you. That's on you.
I know.
Hey, what the name of this f-ing show?
I Talk Great.
I Talk Great.
Are you a business owner, entrepreneur, entertainer, and you got a story to tell? You want to get your brand out there to the world? Well, you reached the right place. Let's set up an exclusive interview between me and you. I Talk Great, and we're going to go ahead and get your brand out there to the world. But here what you do. Go ahead and send me an email with the words gray at italkgraymedia@gmail.com. See you soon.
Y'all already know what it is. It's Mr. Williams with the I Talk Gray podcast, where we talk about the gray areas of business and life because it's never just black and white. But before we get started, if you like all my content, everything that I've been dropping, go ahead and click right there below. Subscribe, tell a friend, tell a friend. And if you subscribe first, you'll be the first one to get to see all the content, everything I drop. I got a heavy hitter in the building. Antonio, what's going on, man?
What's good with you, man? What's good?
Everything good, man. How you doing, man?
Hey, I can't complain, my brother. Can't complain at all, man.
I know. I see you came here.
Yeah.
You came here with your mic jack.
That's why you hit me with the heavy hitter line?
Yeah.
Okay.
Nah, but you is a heavy hitter, man.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. I'll take it. You know, I'll take it all.
Nah, big facts. You doing your thing. First off, I want to say congratulations. You know, everybody don't know, so... There's been a lot of fraud circling around here now. You see me how I say? So my guy Antonio, we went, looked at all his rental properties, right? His Airbnbs. So I got to say congratulations on that because that was the first time, you know. I had some other people that said they did real estate and, you know, they ain't had no receipts.
Yeah.
And I feel like success should have receipts. And you showed the receipts, bro. I thought you was cap at first, you know. But you did your thizzle, man.
Yeah. Well, my main thing was to, number one, you know, give you that authentic experience too.
Yeah.
You know, just so you could see. And it definitely wasn't to like show out or try to make it look like, hey, I'm this, you know, dude doing all this stuff. Nah, it's really just to say, hey, man, look, this is actually what's going on. And when I'm talking to the audience, man, they know it's coming from an authentic and genuine place, you know?
No, big facts. No, I agree that is... you know, you're trying to call, you know, we working.
Yeah.
I do believe that needs to be done more often because anybody could say whatever.
Yeah.
You know, anybody could go cop a whip off Toro, you know, cop a whip off you. Cause I know you do Toro too,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I do.
And be like, yo, you know, you want to get this deal in this course, it's $399. You want to ride like me?
Yeah, yeah.
And then give you back the keys right after.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
So that... authenticity to me is awesome.
Yeah.
So kind of give us a little rundown. That property, I believe it was in Coral Springs.
Like, correct.
I think it was a duplex.
Yeah, it was a duplex. Yeah, for sure.
So was that a short-term lease or a long-term lease? Like, walk us through that whole process.
Oh, well, the side that you, so we got, obviously we have a tenant on one side.
Uh-huh.
And then on the other side is the Airbnb side. So the side that you seen right there, we were just getting that prepared for Airbnb rental. So we're, so it's kind of like, you know, you have a, so you could look at it and say, okay, the other side has a stability type function to it.
Yeah.
Because you got the tenant in there and it's stable. You know, that's coming every month. That's going to cover at least your basic expenses.
Yeah.
The Airbnb is not just extra. You know what I mean? That's what you're working off of. So any bookings that you get off of that is just extra. It's just, you know, it's us using it's a multifunction home, but I'm looking at it as using it as a multifunction type business within a business.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So it has two functions. It has a stable long-term tenant type function. And then I have a function where it's more short-term.
Yeah.
You know, but it can also be long-term. Okay. It just depends. But now, you know, you're doing a double dip type function, you know?
A double dip?
Yeah, yeah.
You ever dealt with like a squatter type situation?
Never, luckily. Thank goodness.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Thank goodness, man. We're going to knock on this wood real quick.
Yes. I know somebody who was doing that out in Maryland, and they was like, yo, bro, we trying to get this person out of here.
Yeah.
And it's just crazy, you know? So do you have any like downsides to real estate that you could kind of educate the people on that comes with the game? Because I think everybody want to get into real estate because it just looks like a fad, right?
Yeah.
But until you actually get in it and you see the difficulty that comes with it, it's like, I don't know. So do you have any like horror stories?
I've been grateful. I've been very, very blessed, I would say the least, that I haven't really had any type of situations where I would call it a horror type situation. Now, I've heard of them, but I can't really speak on that part of it because I haven't had to experience it. Number one, though, the best thing to do is to always, you know, do your due diligence. You know what I mean? Like, don't skip a step, because what happens is most people, they tend to try to, man, I want to get that money. I want to get the upfront money. Now, first, last, and security looks so enticing. Mm-hmm. It looks so great at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
But do your due diligence. Make, like, for instance, I have my realtor run the checks on them.
Okay.
Make sure they have a stable job. Make sure they have good credit.
Background check. Okay.
Do your background check. You know what I mean? Like, I don't skip that step. I rather not take it.
Okay.
I'll leave it alone. Like, I'm not skipping that step. I rather feel comfortable. And if, let's say the you know, the tenant is a bit shaky, you know what I mean? They're coming in with not much proof, then you need more security. I mean, it's simple. I've had people give me as much as 6 months security.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So shaky, what do you mean? Like, they don't have a good credit
score? Like, I've had people that's coming from out of the country. You know what I mean? They're coming in here, but they're looking for, you know, they're looking for opportunity, but they have a job, but they don't really technically have the credit.
Okay.
Okay. So I'm weighing the pros and cons, but you got to have a job at least. You got to show some income.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
I mean, can't do nothing without no income.
No, but, big facts.
So once that comes in front of me, I just make the best decision possible.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
So that property, right? Walk us through, how did you acquire that?
Yeah.
Was that like a VA loan? I know it's an FHA.
Yeah, you got the FHAs and stuff.
How'd you get it? Like, walk us through that. I ain't the expert here, so that's why I'm like, let me make sure you give all the tea.
Yeah, for sure. No, all my properties are conventional. But you can go the FHA route and things of that nature. But realistically, when I was buying most of my properties, it was a low interest rate environment. So, and then you got to come up with your down payment. You know what I mean? But when you do conventional, it's a little better because they're a little more lenient when it comes to certain things, like when it comes to inspections and stuff like that. FHA loans, you have to meet certain criteria to deal with it.
Okay.
Whereas a conventional, you could kind of, you know, you could mess around a little bit, take a little slippage. You could have a little slippage there and they'll still take it. Now you choose whether you want to put the 10-20% down. And don't listen to anybody telling you about the, you know, get this property for free or, you only need about $10,000-$15,000. Stop it. You know what I'm saying?
So there's always something to put down.
Hey, man, have some bank, because there's a lot of banks, too. They require for you to have a certain amount in the bank account, even after the sale.
So what are some unforeseen fees that you think people should look out for when they're looking to purchase?
Well, you know, look out. You got an inspection you got to deal with. You never and never skip any of those type of steps, the roof inspections and things of that nature.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure you're on that. But also, then you got your down payment. Then there's other fees, like your realtor, they take a fee and stuff like that. You got to start calculating. There's more than just that. Oh, well, it's just 10% or 15% or 20%.
Mm-hmm.
And ideally, you want to go 20% if you can. So stack up your money as much as you can. Now, I'm a little different because I don't look at properties as really a personal thing for me. I'm not going to be in there for 30 years. I don't care about that type of stuff. I'd rather rent them all out. I'm looking at it from a business perspective.
You know what I mean? Okay.
So it's a little different for me because it's all business with me. It's like, how much am I going to get this for? I'm going to put this down. I'm going to have X amount of interest rate. And over a 30-year, I might be getting this. Long term, I'm doing it this way.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Based on the current amount that I have. So it's all based on what you want to do. But if it's something, you know, I'm going to keep this. This is my only home.
Yes.
Just make the right decision the first time.
Okay. So you said you don't look at it from like a home buyer type of standpoint, more business.
More business.
So what type of entities are you structurizing these properties under?
Yeah, so
LLC.
Yeah, all my properties are going to be under my LLC.
Okay.
For protection purposes.
Mm,
you know what I mean?
Protection.
Yeah, so you want to protect yourself even if you weren't doing it, I would say always put it under an LLC, because if someone slips and falls in your home, you're liable. You know what I'm saying? Like,
okay,
your insurance, and then they could come after you and come after everything else and anything else too. Like, they could try to find you to, you know, once you have something in your personal, your cars and stuff like that, try to detach a lot of those things, you know, away from you if you can. You know what I mean?
Okay. No, that's smart. Yeah. Because we definitely don't want those type of accidents.
Yeah. But it's a better way to structure yourself tax-wise. It's a better way to structure yourself personally. And protect. To me, I always say protect yourself as much as you can. If you could protect your personal.
Yeah.
Just do it. You know what I mean? Don't ever think that, oh, maybe I'm not. Because sometimes it's just an easy way to not do anything.
Okay.
You know what I mean? But today, though, on the I Talk Great podcast, we're not going to do anything easy, man. We got to do it right.
No, you have so much people that be okay with the okay.
Yeah.
You know, they casual about life. But I be like, you can't be casual about life, because that's how you end up with casualties.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
That's a good one.
So you got to look at the details, and you got to go that extra step so you can get the full benefit out of the situation.
Yeah. I like that.
So
yeah.
How soon does the landlord, or shall I say you, because you're a landlord,
yeah,
right? How soon is you cash flowing?
I'm cash flowing off the rip.
Really?
Yeah, I'm profiting off the rip. Once again, I'm structuring my deals. I'm looking at how much I'm,
so
what's
break
my
that
monthly.
Down, like, break down a deal for us on how you could cash flow off the rip.
Yeah,
I figured, okay, you got to pay back the loan and.
Well, you're okay. So that's why I said I look at it from a business business perspective, right?
Okay.
So let's say my condo. Okay, I remember. So I had a time where I purchased. So I was in the process of buying. I was actually getting my first business open up, which was Fedtronics, right? I was opening up a whole electronics store, and then at the same time, I went ahead and got a condo. You know what I mean? I put too much stress on myself, but it actually worked out in the long run. So I purchased the condo. I had the condo. I bought the condo for about $80,000.
Okay.
Right? It was really cheap. It was like 2015, around that time.
Mm-hmm.
Bought the condo for $80,000. The mortgage on the condo was $300, $332 to be exact.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I'm renting it out currently to this day. And you know, you have a stable mortgage. You know, I don't do variable. I don't do, you know, variable interest rates.
So
I keep it stable. It's fixed.
Okay.
So now $332, I'm renting it out to this day for $2,100. So I'm cash flowing off the rip. Even back then, I was renting it out for, I think it was about $1,200.
Okay.
You know, even back then. Now it's at like $2,100. My mortgage didn't change. The association is probably a little bit higher, but all in all, what am I? $700, $800. And I'm cash flowing every month. Now, and that's in everything that I'm including actually includes the taxes and everything.
So. Okay. So, all right. Are the tenants able to reach out to you? How do you have that structured? Are you that landlord that we can hit up at 1 o'clock in the morning? Like, yo,
you
get
can
your
hit,
sink Lincoln.
You can hit up somebody. It ain't going to be me. you probably might never see my face.
Okay. So
nowadays,
how do you have
before
that set
I used
up,
to do that.
How do you have that in place? Like, what should a person have that in place? Yeah. I mean, what should a person have in place to make sure that they're not being seen as the landlord?
So me, my brother and I, we got the Fortune and Desire Group LLC that we started, and it handles the management aspect of that. You know what I mean? So we'll be, you know, himself and, you know, a couple other people that we'll use to, you know, deal with tenants.
So you have like property management.
Exactly.
Okay,
you know,
okay.
But it's under our business though. It's reflected as our business as the property management over the, you know, the homes.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Okay.
Yeah.
So how'd you get all this knowledge? Like, where did it come from? Did you have a mentor? Did you know, try and fail? YouTube University?
Yeah.
How'd you get all this game?
Yeah. To be honest, man, like, I'm not, like, a lot of it was through, like, learning different things. Like, my first... Like my bro came up to me with my first commercial real estate, you know, type deal that he wanted to do with me, man. And
that was your first deal?
Yeah, it was a commercial property.
Oh, you know, wow.
So that was the first one. We did a owner financing deal. So we dealt directly with the owner. So that was my first time dealing with these things. But along the way, you just learn. Like, you start learning how to structure your deals. And once you buy, because, okay, your first couple is a bit hard. Like, it's difficult because you got to come up with, you know, this cash and get it. But once you start doing it over and over again,
yeah,
now you start getting your, you know, you start getting your,
start building reps.
You start building your reps, man. And business is a passion of mine. So I like, I like all types of business, and I could talk about business all day. I'll sit here for 2 hours, 3 hours with you talking about business in general.
Okay. Because we gotta get a part two going.
Yeah. Because my father did it. You know, my father was in business, and he's a major driver of, you know, of what I'm trying to do in life and, you know, and in life in general. So, you know, it's all about really just, you know, building that legacy, creating that, you know, and you like, you know, people like to throw out the generational wealth and stuff like that. It's cool. I'm just trying to get started because we're just so behind.
Yeah.
You know, me, and I'm not talking about anybody else.
No, you feel like
we're
you're
just
behind.
So behind, and I'm trying to get that ladder so then my kids and my kids' kids can have something to build off of.
Yeah.
And that's what we, you know, that's what I'm trying to do right now. My, you know, my father did a lot. So this is, you know, this is, it's all starts with him and his legacy, you know?
Okay. So speaking of your pops, right?
Yeah.
Give us a little background story. Like, where you from?
Yeah.
Are you here from Florida? Like, give us a little background story. Like,
I probably don't even look Floridian, do I? Y'all tell me.
I don't know. You look like a Yadi. You're like, Honey River.
But, yeah, you know, not a Yadi.
Assume.
Yeah, so I was born in Bahamas.
Okay.
Yeah, Haitian descendants. My people's Haitians, too. You know
okay,
what I mean?
So I say in the building.
Yeah, for sure. So I came down here when I was six. My father had the, you know, my father and my mother at the time, so they had a difficult decision to make, which was, you know, I was with my mom in Bahamas.
Okay.
But, you know, my father, he fought, you know, and he made sure that he got me over here.
Wow. I respect that.
And and, you know, I got to appreciate my father for that because he was foreseeing. So by the time I touched down here, man, he put me to work. You know, my main thing was to watch my brothers and sisters when I first got down here.
Hey, you was a daycare center?
I was a daycare center, bro. I mean, it gave me a lot of responsibility.
Okay.
And things like that. So, and he used to own a cleaner's. So most of my job at when I was younger was to watch my brother and my sister, and maybe he was seeing something because unfortunately he passed. But
it was
watching my brother and sister, and also making sure that you know that I was helping him at the cleaners.
Okay,
you know, and that was at an early age. You know, he was teaching me responsibility. You know,
and you know what. I respect that so much because a lot of these kids today, they don't got no goddamn responsibility.
Yeah, man.
So that's why you can't respond with ability.
Yeah. I like how you flip those words. You know, put those words together.
You know, the parents are just trying to make everything easy for them.
Yeah.
I feel like that's what messes them up. But so you said you were at a young age and he took you from your mom. Like, how was that separation from your mom? Because usually, you know, boys, like, I'm a mama's boy.
Yeah.
I'm like, hell nah. I ain't trying to stay with my mama. So.
Yeah.
How was that transition for you?
Yeah, I mean, at that time, I didn't understand it.
How old were you?
I was six. Yeah. So I didn't really understand
it. I was on my mom's titty at six.
You know what I mean?
I mean, I know you didn't understand the move, but do you have any memory of it at all?
I do have some memories about being in Bahamas. You know, I used to be a little bad little kid, man. You know, getting my arms all burnt up, man. Knucklehead, you know what I mean? Running around barefoot. And I used to remember my dad used to pull up with the green Camry. He used to have a green Camry looking at me running barefoot. He used to be like, yo, when I come through, I don't want you running barefoot.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
And I used to be a little inquisitive, just wanting to catch little birds. Mm-hmm. Like, I used to put a stick on a crate. Like, my imagination is crazy. It was crazy at a young age.
Yeah.
But either way. The separation, I didn't truly understand it at that time.
Mm-hmm.
I know my father was just trying to be the best father he could be for me. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And I got to appreciate him because I definitely wouldn't be where I'm at today unless he took that chance. He could have just been a father that just left me with my mom and just been like, hey, do whatever. Whatever he was going through with my mom. But he made sure of it, man, that he... You know, he took his son and
he stepped up
and bought me, and he showed me a lot of love, man. And, you know, I really do appreciate him, you know what I'm saying, for standing up for me, you know what I mean? And making sure that I was in the best situation as possible. So my payback to him, you know, because he unfortunately passed away when I was 17.
Oh.
My payback to him is to make sure that he left two young kids, too.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to make sure that he never. Like, I wanted him to know that he didn't do anything that I didn't appreciate and his kids will be straight.
No, facts.
You know, and I've always lived by that, you know what I mean, to this day. So I make sure his kids are, You know what I'm saying? As far as my brother and my sister, my sister owns a med spa now. She went through nursing school and did all that. My brother owns, you know, he does his own basketball camps and have his own bat. You know, been overseas, international, everywhere.
Yeah.
I'm proud of both of them.
Mm-hmm.
And I fought for them as much as I could at a young age, man. And I spent money whether they needed it for school or anything like that. And I took care of them. And that was for my pops.
Okay. Your dad set standards and you made sure you followed it through for him.
I think he, number one, he deserves it. And and he knew what he was doing, man. He made sure I was there for them. So mm-hmm. at a young age, I took the responsibility mm-hmm. to make sure that, man, you know, they're not alone.
Yeah.
And, you know, and definitely for him, though, you know, he didn't die alone. You know what I mean? And he never did.
Yeah, you know, that's dope, man. That's amazing. So with that, how was the relationship kept up with your mom, seeing that she was still back in Bahamas? How did that go?
It's rough, man. It's still rough.
What do you mean? Like rough?
Meaning, like, you know, it's not where it should be. And I take a lot of accountability for it. You know what I mean? But growing up, I never was able to kind of, you know, I don't know if he put priority on it for me to reach out to my mother like that. You know, but it wasn't until like the later years. And it was like, yo, reach out to your mom. You know what I mean?
There wasn't on WhatsApp back then like that.
Nah. So I wouldn't hear from my mom. I'd probably hear on a tape or something like, but it's not the same thing, you know? And I'm not blaming her. My mom, my mom actually loves me, bro. Like, she never says anything bad about me ever. Mm-hmm. But I would love, and I'm continuing to work on it every day to build a better relationship with her that's a little bit more cohesive.
Mm-hmm.
But I have my personality is a little bit standoffish. In a way, like I'm like a, what they call it, a black sheep in a way. I don't know. I have this.
You're more introverted?
I'm a little bit of both.
Okay.
Because like I could do this.
Okay.
And I could do that. But I would say.
I was about to say, like, bling, bling.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, but, you know, I'm a little bit of both, but I'm more on the reserve type section of things. So I'm working on it every day, man, for
That's
sure.
That's dope, man.
Yeah,
because, you know, a lot of that technology wasn't around, so I could definitely understand how challenging it could have been to keep in contact, to keep that, you know, hands-on kind of thing.
Yeah,
you know. So you said you're 17, your father transitioned.
Yeah,
right. Were you graduating high school at that time? Or
yeah. So I was around in the high school era when he transitioned. And a lot of things happened, man. Like, you know,
what's going on for you?
Well, you got life insurance, and you know, I think the family.
Did you have life insurance?
Not me. Well, he did.
I mean,
he did.
Sorry,
yes,
did he have life?
Okay. And you know, the family got a bit divided, so we dealt with a little. You know, there was a little bit of a little traumatic experiences around that time that made me look at money differently.
Okay.
So now, and you probably know, you probably could tell right now, I don't probably value money. It's not the main thing for me. You know what I mean? Like, I value the relationships. I value, you know, my peoples and stuff like that over trying to, you know, fight or bicker over any type of money or anything.
So there
like
was
that.
A large sum of cash in terms of his life insurance.
Yeah, it was some bickering and stuff like that that I really did not like. You know what I mean? Okay. And at that time, I'm young.
Will or anything like that.
At that time, I didn't understand it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But, you know, I did feel like I made it. You know how some people are trying to find something to. I'm one of those guys. I look for any type of motivation and experience that you try to give me. You know, you could tell me right now I'm one of the worst podcasters in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm not going to attack you, but I'm going to come after the situation more so to prove you wrong.
Yeah.
You know, but it'll be a motivational piece for me. So I just looked at a lot of the stuff that happened around that time.
Mm-hmm.
I looked at it as, you know what? We'll get it all back. And then so, and we did, you know what I mean? And I'm still on that though. You know, and I'll never stop that, you know, so we'll get it all back. That's what I want my family to be good.
Mm-hmm.
But anything that, you know, my dad has ever worked for, or he's, you know, put the time in to develop or anything like that. I take it as a personal challenge to make sure that, you know, what I want to leave out of here with, you know.
So you built up a competitive edge then.
It's definitely competitive, not as so competitive, it's more like, yo, I'm not gonna let this you know, it gets me going.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
So I get what you're saying. It's kind of a fuel for you.
It does fuel me. Yeah. And like I put my dad's name on everything. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
So my dad's name was Antonio. You'll see my signature line that I'm coming out with. It's going to have Antonio on there.
Okay.
You know, everything that I obtain right now, because I was born Fedner Antonio Desir. His name is Antonio Desir. I just put the, I took my name, I took his name, put it in my name. You know, I changed it. I put my name, his name in there just so I could have his name on everything that,
yeah,
you know, that, that I obtain. So any homes, anything that I have, his name is always going to carry on like that, including the clothing. And I got some other stuff with the clothing too, but that's part of it for sure.
Nah, that's dope. Okay, so that's where the Fed, I thought, I didn't know if it was the feds.
Everybody called me, I'm for sure Fed, you know, till the day I die. But Antonio is a major part of me and every, you know, and everybody else around me, you know what I mean? Because that's the legacy, man. You know, that's the brand right there, man. That's the guy who started it all, you know?
It's the hierarchy.
He's the guy, and he's my superhero, you know what I mean? I ain't have no superheroes out here, man. That was my father who was my superhero. He was the guy who I felt like did the most. When I came in the States, man, my dad had a, you know, he owned his own business. He never worked for anybody, and he worked hard to obtain everything he got. And, you know, I was always proud of him, man. So, you know, and I looked up to him because, you know, down to, I remember everything, you know, I used to work at the cleaners with him. And he used to be like, yo, you know, run the register for me, man. I got to go make a couple errands. So I'll run the register. Shoot, I remember the gas station he pulled into, which is Amoco. You know what I mean? If Amoco, I think it's a BP now, I pull up too. But I drive electric now, so I'll do
it. Okay, okay. No, that is so amazing, man. I like to hear that. So seeing that your dad was an entrepreneur, right?
Yeah.
Did you go straight into entrepreneurship, or did you have a 9-to-5? Like, how did you get started getting your cash?
Okay, good question. So by the time I hit like 20, because I've been, you know, I've been either paying people directly or indirectly since I've been about 23 years old.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So by that time, man, what I just, I did go into the, I started working at a place called Moore's 4x4 Center. But one of the homie Flo actually hit me up. He was just like, yo, you looking for a job? I was still in college at the time, but he's like, looking for a job? I'm like, yeah. You know, so I got that, I got there part time, and I never knew what I really wanted to do. But man, it was a great experience for me because I was able to grow within the company, all the way till I got to like management, leadership board, and everything like that. So I did really well in the company, and I learned a lot. So I think for people who are doing what we call tech, you know, designating things as 9-to-5 jobs, listen, I call it getting money, right? Just get money, right? Like,
yes,
entrepreneur and all these titles that they want to shoot around and trick you into just designating yourself as something, designate yourself into getting successful and making money. You could call yourself whatever you want to call yourself.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter. But let's work on that. So my focus is, when I was working there, was to learn. I learned a lot. You know what I mean? I watched everybody. I went to every department. You know what I mean? Like, they moved me in every department. Like, I went to every department learning. They probably didn't even know I was doing that. I started my first business while I was working there.
Yeah.
I bought my properties while I was working there.
Wow.
So anybody who's thinking that you can't do these things while you're working, you got to be talking to the right people. You know what I mean? The right frame, people who had the right frame of mind. And I earned, and I basically bought my freedom. So now I don't work for anybody. But I took everything that I've gotten from there and I translated. Guess what, man? And here's another thing too, and I don't want nobody to miss the point. Stop being, you go to work, you wake up at like 6 in the morning, 7 in the morning, some of us get our kids ready, do all this other stuff, and then you go to work to underperform. Don't do that to yourself. These are bad habits that you're going to take on.
Yes.
And then when you move on to your next thing that you're trying to do, you still have some of those bad habits. You know what I mean?
Dropping bombs out the gate.
Yeah. So stop doing that, man. So when I went to work, I took it very seriously. And I always wanted to win and succeed. You know what I mean? I remember one time, I'll tell y'all a quick little story. I remember one time, man, they used to have these little end of year like award ceremony at the job, right? But they, this is the first one. I went to that ceremony. I'm gonna keep it short, but I went to the ceremony, whatever, and they were giving out awards to everybody about just anything. Like, they gave one award out for a guy who he used to go get lunch, and he used to always bring back the lunch late and cold or something like that, and they gave him an award for it. I got nothing, you know, that year.
Yeah,
man, listen, bro, and once again, I'm one of those guys, I try to find some fuel.
Yeah, facts.
I told myself, I said, that's the last year ever that they don't mention my name. And it never happened again. You know what I mean? Like, so go to work, man, and really take it seriously. Do your job and don't underperform, get written up, and do all these other stuff. But you chose to do the job.
Exactly.
Or just leave.
Bro, I'm so glad you said that, right? Because I think people feel like, hey, entrepreneurship is just this easy thing that you can go do. And
there you go.
I believe it's a trend now, right? I do also believe that some people are supposed to be employees, because if everybody's an entrepreneur, then who's going to do the work?
Yeah, exactly. Right? Exactly.
But going through the entrepreneurship process, yeah, to kind of let you know like who you are. But if you can't do your job to the highest degree,
yeah,
right, because you're building up these habits, it's like compound, yeah, interest.
Exactly.
If you're being mediocre for 1 year, 2 year, three, yeah, year, what makes you think you're now gonna crush it as an entrepreneur?
Exactly.
It's not gonna happen.
It's not gonna happen.
And then also, a lot of people get caught up with this whole entrepreneurial thing, not realizing you're just self-employed. You're not really an entrepreneur. Yeah,
call it whatever you want to call it. That's so, what it.
And I'm not knocking that either.
Yeah, yeah,
you know, but you're not entrepreneur. So it's just getting everything down to the T.
Yeah.
Right. So what can you say you took from working at your job, right, specifically that you used in your day-to-day business?
Everything. Budget management, efficiencies within a business.
Okay.
Growing up, I watched this business go from like, he probably was making... I don't know, $1 million a year gross, like within the whole business, to like $30 million a year. Mm. And then he sold it to private equity. And then I seen a multi-million dollar business, mm-hmm, that I was involved in. So I took everything. I took the way customer service was ran. I watched it and I watched it grow. So I was, yeah, benefiting from that.
Yeah.
I used to warehouse management. I got that down pat, shipping, labeling. You name it, I have experience in it. And that's because I paid attention when I went there.
Yeah.
That way, when I rolled into the business world, and I was doing business while I was in there, mm-hmm, I was flipping on eBay and Amazon back in like 07, 08. Like,
okay,
flipping.
Yeah.
You know, that's how I actually bought my first commercial property.
Okay.
Once again, I'm a young dude doing these things, but my mind frame was to learn and execute. Mm-hmm. And that's what I was doing, because business ain't easy. It's not. Listen, I've had panic attacks, sleepless nights, anxiety. Like, I'm talking about the real stuff, man. I had to pay money from my own bank account and make sure payroll's being paid.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is some tough stuff. It's not easy. It's a grind.
Yeah.
So don't ever go into it thinking that this is, I'm an entrepreneur. It's cool to say it.
Yeah, of course.
It's CEO, a different than CEO. You know, it's a different CEO stuff title to live it, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I want, y'all leave some comments below. I'll respond to it. And, you know, my guy, Mr. Williams, you respond, but leave some comments below and let us know what you've been going through in business. Big and facts. Let us know if it's easy. And if you are doing that 9 to 5, what are you learning on that 9 to 5? Leave some comments.
Nah, big facts. Yeah. So what would you say you've given up during the journey to your success?
Time, man. Like, well, I gave up. So within the business, man, like, because I'm so consumed,
mm-hmm,
you know, I miss a lot of stuff. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, I don't go to a lot of stuff. Like, I'm not at the parties. I'm not at the, you know, I'm not having.
Yeah,
well, let me don't call it this. Let me say this right now.
You ain't at Tootsie's.
I'm definitely not at Tootsie's. Hey, Rolex and, man. Okay. Look, but listen.
Yeah, Rolex used to be the spot back in the day.
Man, Rolex was it. I used to hit some. I used to frequent.
Yeah. Some Coco's.
You know, yeah, look, Coco. I've been to Coco's too. Yeah, you know, yeah, yeah, yeah. My cousins got me into that stuff, man.
Really? I was in there. Now, they shrimp be buzzing. Well, it used to be.
He's talking about the food. He ain't talking about nothing else with the food.
Yeah, nah, the food was busting.
The food be fire, man. Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, but, I done lost my train of thought. We over here talking to.
Yeah, to Coco was a shout out.
Yeah, so, you know, with what I had to give up was.
Yeah.
And here's the thing, though. Let me say this. I don't feel like I've given up anything because I do love doing what I do.
So, okay.
The, you know, people no used sacrifices. To always tell me none. Well, people used to always tell me, hey, man, Fed, you need to go take a vacation and stuff like that. Bro, I feel like I promised you on everything. I feel like vacations are work for me. I feel like I got to pack up my bags, do all this stuff, get suitcases ready. I feel like it's work. But if you tell me something about a business venture, I'm having the most fun. Like, okay, I'm having the most fun right now on the I Talk Great podcast. I just had a photo shoot earlier today. I'm having the most
fun. So now it makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay, okay. The drip.
Yeah.
Okay, okay.
Yeah, I do, you know, I hit little photo shoots every now, you know.
Hey, you got to. You got to build up the brand.
Yeah, yeah, for sure, for sure.
Right? Yeah. So, all right. Let me go ahead and get another question here, right? How do you work on your personal branding?
Uh-huh.
Or do you work on that at all?
As like, far as personal branding?
Yes. Like, how do you want the public to receive you?
Well, I'm more like a... So... With me, I like to teach. You know what I mean? So not only do I like to execute, I love to see things grow. You know what I mean? I like to see businesses go from zero to, you know, to a million, whatever. Like, for instance, I watch my sister's med spa now go from where she first started.
We walked through the web.
Okay, you know, med spa.
Tell us a little bit more.
Yeah, you got a facial you need to go get.
Yeah,
to.
Man.
You looking clean, though.
Thank you. You know, I gotta give it to you. You know, cutting back on the Henny.
Yeah, on the end, dog.
Yeah, you know.
Hey, man, I went to lunch with this dude, man. He had two cups. I think he had two or three cups of Henny.
No, it was two.
Was it two?
Yeah, because I add one? I ain't going to go in. I ain't going to mud it. And I was like, hey, he said he was paying for everything. And I was okay, let's see if you balling like that.
Yeah.
Nah, but go ahead. Thank you.
Yeah, my guy went ahead and grabbed them two Hennies. Yeah, but so with the whole business, I like to teach. So now I'm in a position now where I can, you know, I could between myself, you know, whether it's the family, because we have a, what we did, we have an intertwined network of just, you know, of businesses. So now we like to put courses and things together that could teach people, you know, how to do things. So my branding really comes off of me doing podcasts, which is Feds World Podcast plug. Shameless plug, baby.
Yeah.
So Feds World Podcast. We got Galore Medical, which is the med spa side of things. Aim High Academy, which is my brother. You know, my brother runs that. And then we got Chancellor Institute, which is another school that we deal with. So we can teach people business fundamentals. You know, courses, if you want to do even little things like, okay, how do I get started with Airbnb? Cool. Teach you. That's easy. How do you get started with Turo? No problem. And I teach you the right way to do it, though.
Okay.
Because
you ain't scamming.
Because I already done been through it. And I could teach you how to avoid a lot of those things, too. So, you know, that's the thing. And some of it's free help, man. So you don't got to really worry about it. You know, I really like to help out. Most of it's like free help, and then some of it, you know, you might got to invest in yourself a little bit.
Yes.
But there's nothing wrong with that.
Yes. No, please say that again. People be like, oh, bro, I can't get that. Like, yo, you have to invest in yourself. So, yo, you doing it big on Turo too. I seen you got recognized by CNBC. You was on TV, shot in. Like, run that down. Like, how'd that happen?
Well, I was killing them. You know what I mean? I was just running numbers up. I had up to 20 cars. I was just killing them. I took it seriously.
20 whips?
Yeah, 20 cars at one time. Wow. Yeah, it looked like literally.
You had a whole fleet.
So we had our commercial property, right? So
okay.
We would put all the cars there, bro. It looked crazy at times, right? So yeah, CNBC, I mean, they wanted to find somebody who was doing it and doing it at a high level. And they said, hey, man, you want, we'll come interview you. You know, tell us where you're at. We'll come over there and shed some light on what you're doing and how you're doing it. Because we were killing it. So I went through, I could tell you any pitfalls that you might go through. I'll tell you exactly what you need to do to avoid it.
What kind of cars you was renting, though?
All type of stuff. Porsches.
These is yours?
Yeah, all mine.
What?
And you make sure you always put them under the business name, people. Always. You know what I mean? I had a couple that I didn't do that with, which was the smartest thing. But always, you know, do that. But I'll teach you, I would teach anybody exactly how to do it. And it might... See, the thing is, once again, we went to talk about don't take shortcuts. So you might don't take a shortcut.
Yeah.
And you're going to get it right on the long run. You know what I mean? I was just talking to one of my friends who I gave him some advice, some good advice on Turo.
Yeah.
And he's doing really well. And he thanked me because I taught him how to do it correctly. Mm-hmm. And I didn't ask him for one dime.
Correct.
You know what
I mean? What's the highest you've seen on Turo in terms of your profits?
Profits? Yeah, let me see. So 140,000. 130,000? Yeah, 130, about that, around there, in that area.
In a month?
No. In a month, I could profit 10, 15,000.
Oh, okay. I was about to say 130,000. No. You got to show some receipts.
Yeah. I wish. Shoot, I wish.
Okay. Yeah. That's still good, though.
Oh, no. It did. Trust me, if you do it correctly, don't let anybody fool you and try to make you think this is something where you're about to make $1 million. That's not what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Like, don't think that. You know what I mean? Now, can you open, like, for instance, I turned it and opened up my own rental car company. Now you could scale a little higher. So I can teach you that too. But scale gradually, people. Like, don't try to hit the home run. You're going to wreck out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, and I could tell you, I didn't wreck out, but I can tell you how you could wreck out.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So don't do things in a methodical manner that makes sense and don't take no shortcuts, even if you're going through a little pain.
No, big facts.
You know what I mean? Same thing with the houses and everything like that.
Yeah. Okay. So seeing that you got the Turo business, right? How does the insurance work on it? Does Turo apply insurance on the cars, or do you got to get your own separate insurance policy?
Yeah, so you do now. You do have to have the car insured. The car is insured personally, no matter what. You know, that's just state of Florida. Like, you got it, but they don't cover that part. Now, while your car is with someone else, it's always insured through Turo. You get what I'm saying? That's when you're doing Turo.
Insured first.
You still have to have it. Now, there's a little trick so you could, you know, get it done and have it done correctly, because you know, might need to go get a little commercial insurance. There's some other ones, like if the car don't move, you find another spot that does that, insures it still for it at a low mileage, and you could keep that. So I could give you the tips and tricks to, you know, to keep you going and keep you efficient, you know, while you're running your Turo business.
Okay, man, got courses, teaching, and he legit. That's dope, bro.
Yeah, for sure.
So seeing how your sister got the business, you got the business, you know,
Your brother got the business.
and that unfortunate situation happened with your dad with the life insurance and everything like that.
Yeah.
How are you guys protecting yourself to prevent that? You guys have life insurance in place?
Yeah. So life insurance for sure. Will for sure. I learned a lot from those dealings. I learned that when you're alive, people could tell you anything.
No, big facts.
And when you pass away, it's a totally different story. It's just how it goes. You know, so I learned a lot from that, and I just made sure to put together a will and a life insurance.
Okay.
And protection, once again, through the LLC. So estate planning too, you know, because, you know, as a community, and trust me, people, I'm not this black all the way advocate. Listen, the white people actually gave me the most opportunity. So I'm
That's how it be.
They gave me a lot of opportunity. I honestly don't have one bad story.
Money's green.
Money's green, man. Everybody should watch the I Talk Great podcast. White, big facts. Black, Spanish, you know, this isn't one of those things. So I did a lot of things. Once again, estate planning. So, hey, if something happens to me, the money is, first of all, my life insurance would be set. My will would set it up. So
you have a term, whole life, or IUL?
It's term.
Okay.
But the way I set it up. But the way I set it up through the will, it's for, and you make adjustments every year. And that's what you should do. Or revise it every couple years, 2-3 years. You might change up.
Okay.
You know, something else might happen. You might need to switch things up. You might have another kid. You might do a...
Well, the term would cancel out during the term period.
Yes. 20 years is usually... Okay. I think 20 years is usually what you get.
Yeah, you have term. 20 and 30.
Yeah. So the way it triggers is if something happens to me, automatically, you know, it's now it goes to the estate planning part.
Okay.
And all the money obviously pays off any debt. I needed to do that. Pay off any debt that you may have. That way I'm not burdening my family with debt that I just decided to leave behind.
Yeah.
Pay off my debt. You could bury me, you know, decently. I'm cool. And then after that, the estate, which is whatever's coming through there, could go to, you know, to the kids and the family and stuff like that.
Okay. No, that's dope, bro. Because I feel like when it comes to us, lots of times we shy away from like financial literacy or even just life insurance in the whole.
Yeah.
And a lot of people don't realize like the term life insurance, it's really to help you in your life.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Not when you transition.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, but we're going to drop some more game on that later. So during your process of elevating, right, did you have to drop some of your friends off? Did you have to leave some behind or everybody with you? You rolling 30, 40 deep?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
How'd that go?
So for me, though, I've never rolled 30 deep. You know what I mean? I would never even assume that 30 people had my best interest at heart at one time. Ever. I could barely think 7 people had my best interest. You know what I mean? Like, and that's real talk. Like, at the end of the day, man, when you have, for me, and I'm just talking personally, I'm not going to have that many friends because first of all, I'm a particular type of guy. I have a particular way that I do things, and I have a particular things that I like to talk about that a lot of people aren't going to like to talk about. So it's going to bring about a lot of, you know, ungenuineness in a way. So it's all good. I'm not mad at anybody, but I only have a select few friends, so I never had to drop off anybody.
Okay.
You know what I mean? And the select few friends are still there.
Okay.
That's you know what I mean? That's just what it is. But if you're in my circle, you know me. You know exactly what I'm about.
Yeah.
And you know what I'm coming with, and I'm a supporter. I'm going to help everybody. But I'm not mad at nobody. I know a lot of people, but do I hang out with the people? Nah, it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
I'm not that type of guy.
No, facts.
Yeah.
You do have to look at the company that you keep because as you're elevating, that can crucially like keep you back.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I'm saying? So sometimes you got to like trim the fat.
Yeah. I'd rather be alone.
Yeah.
You know, I don't have no problem with that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But isolation is good at times.
I don't have a problem with, you know, we could just do business. I'm cool with that. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? That's how we relate. That's how we relate. You know what I mean? Yeah. If we relate on a central, my phone ain't buzzing like that because of that. Now I got my phone's buzzing because somebody's looking for their paycheck or something like that.
Okay. How much employees do you have?
Right now, about four.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. About so four. He's a real entrepreneur.
Yeah. Well, I've been doing that. Like I said, I've had employees since I've been 23, 24. I've been cutting checks since then, you know? Still cutting checks to this day.
Okay. So what are some like payment processors that you use to cut the checks?
Anyone you want. ADP, paychecks. You know what I mean? I got my, we got a new, you know, accountant.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Dealing with some things, you know, and he's giving us some, hey man, get you some people that know what they're doing.
Yeah. Like,
that's important. So you can, when you start making a certain amount, mm-hmm. you know, these, you know, tax man's coming for you. So you got to make sure that
Uncle Sam
you're
money.
Putting, hey, get that smart guy, you know, get that smart. Shout out to Brett. Yeah. Get that smart guy. Yeah. Get that smart guy that knows exactly what he's doing and he can teach you, like he can put things together. Mm-hmm. So, you know, okay, hey man, you got depreciative assets here. We could put this over here, man.
Yeah.
Hey man, you need to start throwing some of this profit mm-hmm. into IRAs and stuff like that to save you in taxes. Cause it turns into a tax game.
No facts.
The more, the higher you get.
Yeah. Yeah. So I was at a, Earn Your Leisure conference, right? And Fat Joe was there and he was basically saying that his accountant, right, was kind of taking money from him.
Yeah, yeah.
But then he had to hire another accountant just to watch his account. Yeah, yeah. So did you ever have to go through anything like that? Or is your accountant the same one you've been working with from the beginning?
Yeah, I've switched up recently, but my money ain't that long yet to where I got the accountant watching the accountant. But just know, when you hear me say that, my money got long.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's all right, but it ain't that long yet, Charlie.
Okay. No, I get what you're saying.
Yeah.
So outside of your siblings, who have you made rich?
Who have I made rich? Yeah. I haven't made anybody rich, but I made them money.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
I can respect that.
Yeah, but I could I say I made somebody rich? No, I can't say that. Now, if they eventually become rich, and once again, I'm still writing my story in my book. So, you know, get ready for that. I'm still writing it. No, I don't. What I mean is I'm still writing my story. I got a lot more to give and to go. So most likely if we have a part two or something like that, you might hear I made somebody, you know, a couple million dollars.
Okay, okay.
But if I have it, somebody may have something either close to or, you know.
Okay. Yeah. No, because I believe in that, right? Like I look at people and they say things like, yeah, I got this and I got that. But I'm like, okay, who have you made money?
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I'm looking at your peoples around you and everybody looking like they starving.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But you the only one eating.
Yeah. Yeah, and the people around me, none of them doing anything like that. Because, you know, they know. You know, to be around me, you got to be striving for that greatness, man. You got to be striving to be the best version of yourself.
No,
that's
facts.
What I do.
So, bro, you mentioned it earlier. You have a podcast.
Yeah.
How long you been doing that?
Not that long. Probably under a year. Maybe about a year.
For real? What made you get into the podcasting?
Well, I wanted to go ahead and it's called Fed's World. On podcast, so you on my Instagram, you can find me on anywhere, Instagram, social. If you put a plug in Fed's World, you find it there. And that is just me talking business, man. Like, you know, something similar to what you're doing with a little twist, maybe. You know, I'm talking business, but I'm talking to, I talk personal growth and development as well. So not only business, it's like, hey, what are you doing personally to grow? Some of the stuff that we just talked about right here, and some of the stuff that I've done. Mm-hmm. You know, not all of it, really. And it's from my perspective, it's my taste.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I do interviews with select people that's in the business world, and they don't have to be making $1 million. They could be starting off and really working at it, or they are making $1 million and they're trying to get to the next level. I want to hear their story and go over it. And then also I give you my perspective. I'll go ahead and drop to you. You know, I'm really one of those guys. I'm a little art. I have an artistic type view.
Yeah.
So I like to project it, whether it's my clothing, whether it's my line. So any type of things that I touch, it's more from an artistic type perspective, you know? So we got that, and we got, so you'll see Fed's World Podcast, and we got Pluto Studios.
Okay.
That we got coming up as well. My brother runs Fortune Noir Photography. So he does that Fortune too. Noir. So we got like this whole, you know, ecosystem.
Yeah.
You know, that, you know, helps, first of all, it helps us. Helps us a lot because we stick together with it. If you need it, I got it. Whatever, we switch resources and you know, and navigate. And then we also help others, you know, while we're doing that. So that's what really Fed's World is about, man.
Okay. No, bro, that's dope. I was looking at some of your stuff. I even gone front. I was like, okay, quality, clean.
Yeah, yeah, you know yeah, yeah, yeah.
Got the captions and everything like that. Have you been able to monetize already?
No, I haven't done. Actually, I haven't. To be honest, I haven't been looking to. That's not even my goal right now.
Okay.
In the short term, I'm not even.
Okay.
I'm more passionate about talking about
it. He already got the bread. He like, man, I don't even need it. Like,
he lying. Yeah, but. The passion about talking about business and being in business in general, and it's all stemmed from when I was a little shorty, man. Like when I was younger, man, I used to get my brother to like sell candy. Like we used to go through and sell candy. Like, well, I'd be flipping. Like, yo, you know, and I'm talking about I'm young, like probably 10, 11. Am I 10, 11, 12? Maybe around that age. So I used to give it to him and my sister, man, go flip it. Right, go into school and sell it, right? Don't do that. It's actually, I don't think that's allowed, but I was doing it anyways. They'll go and flip it. Then they'll come back and be like, oh, we had to give such and such some candy. I'm like, man, y'all eating into my profit.
You know what I'm saying?
So at a young age, I understood profit and loss. Mm. And we did, like, knucklehead stories too. We had this other young cat who used to just like to steal, right? So he could be stealing or whatever.
Stealing the work.
And I used to be like, yo, go into that Smart and Final, bro, and just grab me some. We'd buy it too. But he was doing it already, so we do. Hey, man, if that brother ever watched this podcast, man, I want to apologize to you, my brother, because I was a little bit, you know, I was young. I wasn't thinking. I used to get him to go do those things. Man, I apologize. I hope you're doing great in life, man. I apologize to you for about that. But I was doing those things at a young age, understanding, like, trading, you know, selling baseball cards and Pokemon cards and stuff of that nature, all the way to where I was in the cleaners doing what I was doing. And an interesting story in the cleaners. So one day, right, this guy walks into the cleaners, right? You know, while my dad had left for a little bit, you know, I keep it short, but he left for a little bit. He went to go do his errands. He's like, yo, watch the front counter and do your thing. So a cat just, you know, a cat walks in. He hops off his bike, walks in. My dad's cleaners is on 4th Avenue. You know what I'm saying? Sunrise, 4th Avenue. Actually, not a little bit far from here. Over there by Fort Lauderdale.
Okay.
So, you know, a little drug spot. You know what I mean? A little hot spot back in the day. Million dollar row.
Yeah.
You know? So I was in there, I'm, you know, hanging out. Guy walks in, he's asking some funny questions. Like, yo, you know, how much it costs to press a shirt? How much it costs to like do? He's acting weird questions. And I kind of see his body language a little off. And all of a sudden, he ups on me. Pulls out a 9mm in my face. Yo, break yourself.
How old was you at the time?
I probably was like, because I was in middle school. So you're talking about 7th grade.
Damn, so you probably was like 13 or 12?
Not even. Shoot, probably 11 or something like
that.
Yeah, he upped on me. Oh, I look. I'm like, hey, man, I could see that. You know what I mean? I'm like this, right? So I looked at him. I said, all right, man. I've always been a quick thinker. Always. I'm still like that to this day. So when I seen that, and he said, he hops over because, you know, you got the little front desk, whatever. He hops over the front desk. He's like, yo, break yourself. He kind of aims the gun at my lap. In my mind, I'm thinking, all right, bro, you got to play dumb with him. You know what I mean? Because he's trying to rob the joint, whatever. I'm play dumb. So what my dad used to do was he used to always drop money. So a drop is what he called. They probably do something different now. But back in the day, you had those regular registers. So he'll take hundreds and whatever and 20s and all that and drop it, put it in an envelope.
Yeah.
And then he'll tuck it under anything, like a little whatever. You know, I knew exactly where it was. And in my mind, I'm like, yo, I'm going to play stupid. So the guy was just like, yo, what, you know, where the Brad at, bro? I said, hey, man, look, I'm just getting started in here, bro. I have no clue. Like, the guy just, you know, I just started today. He left. I don't know exactly what I'm going to do. And he's like, I said, look, but I'm going to try to open register for you. You know what I'm saying? I don't even know how to do that right now. You know what I mean? He's like, okay. You know, I act like I didn't know how to open a register.
Some
stupid buttons. And I'm playing them in a way, right? Hey, don't come for me, bro. I was just, you know what I mean? Yeah, so I opened it up, and he was like, it's only $15, right? So he's
about to gun butt you.
He's like, that's it? He's lifting it up. I said, bro, that's it. That's all he left me with. But in his haste and panic, because I didn't know this at the time, but there's some other guys outside robbing the place. They're robbing the other, because it's in a plaza. So they're robbing the other plazas. And I see him kind of looking out. And he's like, that's it, bro? I said, bro, that's it, bro. I really don't got nothing for you. So he just, you know,
he got himself 15?
Together. Yeah, he took the 15.
I'm going to Popeyes real quick.
Dude would be doing 30 years for $15. I don't know. That's armed robbery. You know what I mean?
But, yeah.
You know, so either way, that was one of my little, you know, my dad came through like, he's like, you all right? I'm like, yeah. He's like, he took the money? I said, nah, he ain't take no money. I ain't give it to him. He said,
You know? Just got the 15.
My dad used to always look at me as this, you know, he's always take me to places to like fix other people's stuff. He always said, "Yo, Faye could do it. Faye could do it." He's always instilled a lot of confidence in me.
Yeah.
But he always told me, like, you know, you're smart. Good. Like, you're a smart guy for doing that, even though you didn't have to do it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But he looked at me like, yo, that's some major thinking in a pressure situation.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
Another cat with a, yo.
Like, yo, it's right here. Here you go. Yo,
dude.
Let me take you to the back to the safe back here. We got more money.
Yeah, we got some more dough for you, man.
Yeah, bro, we got to get Tyler Perry on the phone for you.
Man, listen.
You got some acting skills.
Yeah.
For real.
Bro, I did a good job, though. I ain't gonna lie.
That's amazing.
When I think about it, I'm like, yo, I'm young as hell, too, man, thinking this crazy. Like,
middle school?
Yeah, definitely seventh grade, because when I was doing my dad cleaning, I was probably about seventh grade.
Okay, so, like, what else do you see for yourself? Like, what's next for you in your story?
It's promoting the brand and the legacy of my pops. You know what I mean? That's still a major key to it, major component. That's why all, like I said, the clothing line, the brand and everything is gonna be there. I'm just a relentless type person. You know what I'm saying? I'm very relentless. Like, literally, man, I'm so relentless, man. Drop me in a jungle real quick one day, man, and see what I come out with. You know,
come out with a chinchilla.
Chinchilla, leopard skin draws and all that stuff. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, you see me fighting the lion, help the lion, you know?
Yes, man.
So you could, you know, fight, help the lion, huh?
Nah,
might
facts.
Eat you. That's on you.
I know. Nah, facts, man. Yeah. Yo, brother, this has been so dope. I'm so glad you came through and dropped all these gems. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Let everybody know where they can find you at.
Yeah. So once again, man, the Feds World podcast. We got the Fed Inc. that's coming out on top of it too, because we're just intertwining the brands. I do a little fashion and photo shoots and stuff like
okay,
that.
Okay, you're going to be ripping the runway pretty
soon? Yeah, so you'll be seeing that, you know.
Okay.
And
my guy, Tony Visions.
Yeah, Mr. Williams trying to, you know, connect me with a little something.
You know,
and he was just like, yo, start your own little comp card and stuff like that. So I've been into, like,
my guy,
taking
Tony
pictures.
Vision to get you right.
Yeah, so I'm trying to, like, not trying. I'm doing.
Yes, we
like,
ain't
I'm
trying.
Executing.
Ain't no hope.
Yeah, ain't no hope.
We're doing.
Yeah, hope is definitely not a solution. So I'm actually doing these things. You know, so Fed Inc. is going to be a separate part of it. You're going to catch me at Pluto Studios. Go to feds.world.com. Basically, that's going to be the website where you can get all the information there. Now, you know, just a disclaimer that it is in working right now. The guy's still, you know, getting all the stuff done there.
The particulars
but,
out.
Yeah, but you could still get some free resources on there and stuff like that. And definitely go follow me on all the socials and subscribe to the Feds World channel on YouTube. Also, you know, subscribe to my guy, Mr. Williams, man. He's a good guy. I met him like on a personal level, had a great experience with him. And he's trying to help, you know, people just like us in business and stuff like that and promote brands. So he's a good guy, man. Follow him on the podcast and leave us some comments too, man. So
yes,
you know, I'd love to see him. You know, like and hit the like button too, man.
Yes, and subscribe.
And subscribe,
yo, brother.
Sure.
This has been so dope. Thank you for coming through. You know what I mean? We might have to get a part two for sure.
Yeah,
you
for sure.
You were kind of late today, but it's okay.
We're gonna
double it back.
Yeah, but it was a good.
No, most def.
Yeah,
y'all already know what it is. It's Mr. Williams with the I Talk Gray podcast, and we out of here. Yeah.